You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
In the gritty and difficult places of the world, God calls His people to be salt and light to the broken and the needy. That's what the front line is all about. Open your heart and your mind. Today's show is about to begin.
And good morning. This is a wonderful Monday, the 5th of January in a brand new year. And we're excited about that. We have what I'm going to say is an interesting program today, mainly because only God knows exactly how it's going to unfold. And I'll explain that in a minute. But first, I have to introduce and welcome one of my co-hosts. Other co-host, Ann, couldn't be here today. So I have, but do I have my brother, Ed.
Oh, yeah.
And Ed Skiba, thanks for being here, bro.
Oh, man, I wouldn't miss it. I was coming all the way in from Indiantown. Boy, it was foggy out there today.
Oh, yeah.
What really impressed me was all the people that were coming this way from Indiantown actually took their time, didn't try to pass each other in the fog.
Oh, that's smart.
And they were driving courteously. I thought, I think I woke up in a different country.
I was going to say.
This can't be Florida.
That's not planet Earth, bro. That is not.
Oh, man.
But
despite all that, it's another beautiful South Florida morning.
It absolutely
Any
is.
Any morning I can wake up, look out the window, and draw a breath is a beautiful morning
for me. I'm a cartoonist. I can draw breath.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I do it all the time.
Yeah, you draw flies.
Draw flies, yeah. Yeah, I even can draw blood, but my phlebotomist at the doctor's office doesn't want me to do that. She wants to do it.
Yeah, my wife was a phlebotomist, too.
Really?
She did that at Baptist Hospital in Jacksonville for a while.
I didn't know that.
Going in very early in the morning and drawing blood.
You know, with that kind of background, she could have applied for an IRS agent position.
Probably, yeah, that's really good. You should call my vampire.
Now, if you're an IRS agent and you're listening, I don't mean anything personal by that.
If you're listening, what are you doing as an IRS agent?
Really? Well, hopefully things are improving at that level. But anyway, to shift tracks, and I have to apologize for my voice this time of year with the dry cold air. And a voice that's left 4 or 5 years ago changed anyway to something like this. And God, waiting for God to change it back. But until He does, you know, at least as long as you can hear me.
Like that might be that frog that I always follow.
Yeah, the frog. I do toads, man. I quit frogs years ago. But anyway.
Who ever heard of a toad in your throat?
Well, maybe another toad. I have no idea. I'm not into the amphibians particularly, but at any rate, we're going to go back to our kind of what we were supposed to do on this program. But I want to tell you, kind of as a background, I set up the interview schedule for this program.
Mm-hmm.
As a producer, that's what you do. And I could not get this day filled with a guest. I mean, I'd reach out to people and give them dates and any other date but this one. So part of me, as a producer, you think, well, you got to have something right so I could always put in a backup program, which you clearly this is not. But then as I prayed about it and the Lord said no.
We may regret that later.
Regret that. Really, you may tell us, you may call in and say we should regret it. But
yeah.
And so I just prayed. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? He said, just go on the air, be live, and I'll tell you what to say.
So, amen.
And then we had kind of another backup thing, and that didn't work out. So here we are. But I was talking with my brother Ed before the program, and I remember the vision for this program was the front line is talking about ministry. Mm-hmm. Now, any work we do for the Lord is ministry.
Amen.
And it's all front line. I don't care what you're doing or where you're doing it. Excuse me a minute. Yeah, I'm sorry. You didn't listen in to hear me cough, so I'm going to try to be better about that. But but so that we have people we've had for the last, 2.5, 3 years. I don't know how long we've been on the air with this program. We've had people who do ministries. Some are international, some are national, some are state, some are county and city. Yeah. The venue really doesn't matter. It is that wherever people say yes to God and let God lead them to use their giftings for the one purpose, really, of bringing the gospel of Christ to the lost.
Amen.
That's one. The other purpose is, in ministry, is to lift up the saints, you know, the body of Christ. Body of Christ ministers to itself as well as to those beyond it.
It's true, yeah.
And it's important that we recognize that. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have wasted any breath in John, as John records him saying, love one another as I have loved you.
Yeah.
Because so part of the work of the church in ministry is a loving ministry to each other, but it also witnesses to the world because the world doesn't have Jesus.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
And so wherever we are in ministry, that's our focal point.
Yeah.
And how we do that is going to be unique to who we are. So we thought today, Ed and I kicking this around, and I trust being led by the Spirit, thought we'd take this program, since we don't really have a guest, except I guess we could say, well, our Holy Spirit,
the Holy Ghost
is our Holy Ghost, right. Is our guest, is really to speak to ministry to you, the listener. You may be a pastor. You may be someone that is a regular attender at church. You may also have ministries outside the church. And we're all having problems. Nobody call 911. We're okay.
I wonder.
But, yeah, this. So anyway, I'm sorry. We apologize. We're trying to gain some traction on this. But to talk about ministry and as the Spirit leads. And we're going to invite you to call in if you'd like to call in and talk about either, I mean, the ministry God's got you doing. Obviously, we can't take the whole hour, but tell us, you know, what God's got you doing and what excites you about it. And we'll get that on the air, too.
Yeah.
Now, the number to call is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. And I'm gonna have to answer the phone, so you have to give me a minute to get out there. Hope I don't trip on anything. The older you get, the more your fall risk I'm founding on. But
I'm hoping I can still talk.
Yeah, well, I'm hopeful too, Ed, because yeah. I can't do this alone.
My tongue gets in front of my eye teeth, and I can't see what I'm saying.
Yeah, right. Okay. So anyway, there'll be some humor along the way. So if you're driving, kind of prepare for that. But so ministry, and that's the work of the church. And it's the church should be, I want to speak now of the church itself, it should be an environment where the people of God come together to worship him, to praise him, and to be edified. So the part of the work of the church is teaching. It's not just worship and coming in on Sunday, you know, as we respond to God's call to honor the Sabbath and be a part of that and use that time to get closer to him and to each other in the fellowship of Christ. But it also is a time, you know, the Sunday should be a day when we are energized. We hear a great sermon, a great teaching, maybe hopefully have some Bible study. And that on that day we get charged up and focused so that the rest of the week we can be able to go out in the power of the Spirit and do what God calls us to do, which is to bring Christ to those around us. You know, the gospel is supposed to go into the world, and the church is supposed to do that. But I think maybe to start with the work of the local church. Now, when we think of mission fields, the mission field is right outside your front door, your side door, your window, if that's how you exit the church on Sunday. The mission field is beyond, well, I guess it probably includes the church property too, because I said part of the work of the church is to minister to its members. But beyond that, in every community, there are people that don't know Jesus, and they truly are lost. They may think they're in good shape, but they're not. And our call as believers is to share our faith. And, you know, I believe for everyone, we're not all, now when I say soul winners, and there are many that are, if you know what the term means, maybe you don't. There are people who have the giftings, no matter where they are, be led by the Spirit to be in a conversation with a total stranger, usually, that ends up bringing them to Christ or at least planting the seed of the gospel in their heart. And that's a tremendous ministry. Not everybody is called to be a soul winner like that, but we are all called to get the word out. So starting with the work of the local church, which is hopefully where you are, is to think about what is the work of the church at your local level? And what are you doing? Maybe I know a lot of people. When I was pastoring, Ed, and you were too.
Right.
We still do that.
Still are.
We all have small congregations, yeah. But that's okay because small isn't bad. But you and I both were in big churches, and I was in a church of 3,000 at one point, and always I never was in a church of less than 500. So a lot of people, a lot of programs, all that stuff, and hopefully a lot of staff. But the end result was that whatever the church was doing, it had to be discipling always.
Mm-hmm.
That no matter how care how long you walk with the Lord, you're a disciple. You never chat, and the rule never changes. You get better at it, hopefully, and you're more able to disciple others, which is also part of the work of the local church.
Right.
Yeah, I don't care how big you are or how small you are, those things need to happen.
Yeah.
And maybe in a lot of places, discipling isn't occurring as it needs to be. I don't know. But where you are, listener, this is really talking to you in your church. What's going on? What's happening that so the church itself, whether the leadership of the church is providing adequate worship.
Mm-hmm.
And not just on Sunday. Some churches meet midweek. Some have other days. But is the worship a blessing to you? Is that environment filling you? Is the Holy Spirit invited to move around in the church?
Amen.
And in the lives of the people? And is there a call to grow?
Uh-huh.
Discipleship means growth.
Yep.
You know, we don't stay static. You know, I know I've met a lot of people, and you have too, Ed, that they met the Lord several decades ago. I have a family member. Yeah. I won't mention her name or whatever, but, you know, she assured me several times she was saved. And she talked about the day she went up to the altar, you know, at the altar call, and she received Lord. But her life didn't show it.
Amen.
Did not reflect it.
That's a big problem a lot of Christians have, yeah.
Exactly.
They talk the talk. They don't walk the walk.
But don't you know, Ed, I mean, doesn't that have to happen at the local church?
Absolutely.
At that level?
Yeah. You know what crossed my mind? I hear a lot of people criticize churches, especially mega churches. And to be perfectly honest, I've been guilty of it myself.
Yeah, me too.
Mega churches who have all these programs, and they've took this, and they got, you know, this for the kids, and this for the teens, and this for the young adults, and this, and all those programs seem to take the focus away from the worship aspect of it.
Yeah.
But if those programs are put in place with the right motivation, the motivation being drawing that group of people closer together as a family in Christ.
Yeah.
And sharing their faith with each other, then they're justified in the church. You know, I
hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think at this stage, you know, what I'm really hearing is raising the question. And for each individual listener, if you're interested in you know, pursuing what is being opened up today, it is really to ask the Lord about your church.
Yeah.
Now, again, and let's be careful, we're not encouraging you to complain.
No.
You know, I mean, human beings, we do that. That's like part of our DNA, right? You know, I'm perfectly able to complain at a moment's notice.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you know, complaining alone... go ahead. You're okay. Ed's okay. Don't call 911. I said that earlier. Yeah, we're all doing a little bit. This is seasonal, I think.
It must be.
But
like Mrs. Dash.
Like Mrs.
Seasonal.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's being the salt of the earth doesn't mean being seasonal. But anyway, that is ministry being encouraged in the local church? Only you can answer that question. Is the leadership of the local church providing an environment to build, to encourage discipleship, and to build on the basics of what makes a disciple? The constant learning and the practicum that goes with it. With the end result is that no matter, again, what your ministry is, because everyone has different gifts.
Right.
And there's only so many number, but not... You don't find a church that everybody got the same gifts.
No, absolutely. No. Well, if you did, if everybody had exactly the same thing, thought the same way, did the same thing, everything was exactly the same, you don't need one person.
Right.
You could get rid of everybody.
Exactly, or go someplace where there's nobody, you know, but that's not the way God designed it, is that we have a multiplicity of gifts in the church.
Absolutely.
And I don't care if your congregation is 10 people or 10,000 people.
Right.
If you have a God-focused, gospel-focused church based on the word of the Holy Word of God and the authority of that word, and you're moving out in the basic charge of which Jesus gave us in what we call the Great Commission. And this is another thing that I'm really focused on, the Great Commission, and talking about the work of the local church. And because Ed and I have pastoral chops, so we have experience, we have some capacity to address these issues and to ask you, the listener, to be prayerful about them and think about them, is that the work ultimately, it's Matthew 26, forgive me, Matthew 28, 16 through 20, okay, I'm getting it right, is that go forth into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and behold, I will be with you until the end of the age. Now, the first thing he said, though, was, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. That's the opener for the Great Commission.
Amen.
And the rest is, go forth, you. And as you saw in the Gospels, where Jesus working with his apostles, they're going to be primary leaders. They were going to lead the community of disciples that came to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Is that they were going to be the ones, the apostles lead, and the people get led. But they take the teachings and they go out and they do what Jesus commanded them to do.
Right.
So this was his last earthly command before he ascended. Go forth into all the world. Bring the gospel. Teach the nations. Tell them what I command you. Make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That is the essential work of the church.
Absolutely.
Now, so as I say that, and we're coming up on a little break, but I want to be brief just to say, we'll do more. We'll unpack this a little more after the break. But that if you go to the Great Commission, I think we all need to, this is the foundational revelation for everything we do as Christians.
Right, right.
Every ministry is defined.
Absolutely.
The action of every ministry, the purpose of every ministry is defined by the Great Commission.
Absolutely.
So that you can look at what you're doing, you can look at what your church is doing, and see how it lines up with that. And I believe today that the church of Christ, this body of Christ, and I'm going to speak to America. I live here, right? Okay. It should be a worldly thing, and it is. But from speaking to us here, we need to constantly examine in prayer what our work is doing as in line with what Jesus told us to do.
Absolutely.
The first
question I like to ask people when they talk about new programs, especially the little congregation I've got, let's do this, let's do that. What relevance does it have to salvation?
Right.
That's my bottom line. Where does Jesus fit in that? That's
exactly
the only thing I want to know. If you can show me how it leads people to Jesus, then I'm 100% on board with you.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Because if you're not doing that, everything else you're doing is play church.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's my way of saying it. But
it's just taking up time and space and unfortunately, in some cases, glorifying the leader. When in fact the leader is one of the people, he just happened to be the one that got pushed out in front.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you've heard the old saw about the you get a whole jar full of nuts and the biggest nuts always come to the top.
Never heard that before. No. But yet even more wisdom is being poured out.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I'm going to go ahead and give us our first break of the day. Normally we have one break, but because of our different approaches today, we're going to take two.
Yep.
And then we'll be back. And again, if you have a question or a comment, maybe you want to share your ministry with us, the number to call is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100.
Amen.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day. Well, welcome back to The Front Line. And today, of course, the Front Line has a different kind of format because we couldn't get a guest. I mean, I tried, Ed.
Let's be honest. We're faking it.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't go so far as to say that. We're on a roll, I believe, in the spirit also.
Absolutely.
And, of course, anyone that just started with us notices that both Ed and I are having respiratory responses. Ouch. To the cold, dry air that we're experiencing this time of year.
I thought it was just because I was old.
Well, okay, well, I'll admit it, Ed. Almost as old as you are.
Yeah,
but hey, age is only a number, right?
Amen.
So, in fact, another number, if you want to call in, maybe to share your ministry briefly with us, or talk about, because Ed and I are going to talk in a minute about, we're encouraging people. Maybe you haven't engaged in the calling God's put on your life yet. Mm. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe you've decided, maybe you're going to do a Jonah and run away. Well, I don't know.
Maybe the people, someone out there may have a question on, how do I recognize God's call in my life? You know, is he giving me a call? I'm just Joe Blow. I'm nobody.
Right. But if God's calling you, you're somebody.
Absolutely.
Everybody's somebody.
Everybody.
Yeah, but we're going to talk about it. But the number to call is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. They were running a special on twos and ones that day. Did you know that?
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah. I noticed you always say 1100 because some people can't find the 11 on their phone. Yeah.
Well, they're coming out with a new
phone.
Android that's going to handle
it. Yeah, okay.
No, they're not. No, they're not. Well, okay, so again, some people are hesitating, and I was there when I heard God's call. I didn't know what to do with it, so I'm going to tell my story, but first, briefly, Ed's going to tell us his story.
Oh, my good Lord, you want me to do that briefly?
Well, yeah, boil it down
really
to 2 hours.
Well, I was raised in a mainline denomination, very organized church, very organized denomination, several men and women in my family were involved in ministry, were ordained in ministry, and I don't know. I always knew from day one that God had a call on my life. I could feel it, but I ignored it. And I mean, to the point of I spent 22 years in the military, in the Navy, not as a chaplain, which I do now, but as a Navy salvage diver and engineer. Mm-hmm. And I was a proficient knuckle dragger.
I'm getting a picture, Ed.
Are you? Yeah. And I don't have to go into detail on it because I don't want to glorify sin.
No.
But I was a typical sailor, probably a little more than typical. At one point in my career, I was trapped at 132 feet in the middle of Narragansett Bay trying to retrieve a practice torpedo. And I lost air and I lost communication. And it was in the middle of January, which you can imagine.
Ooh.
You can imagine how cold that water was.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's the first time I really prayed from the bottom of my soul.
Mm.
Lord, help me out of this. If you do, I'll change.
Yeah.
He helped me out of it, and I forgot what I promised. And I went,
but God didn't.
Continued on being a sailor for the rest of my career till I had 22 years in when I retired. But in that process, I had been out to sea, and I had been into several different metaphysical studies, I guess you would say. Edgar Cayce, Ruth Montgomery, Next Level of Existence, garbage. All the garbage that Satan puts out there to try and substitute for Jesus. And I frightened myself so bad one night in the middle of the Mediterranean. I looked over the side, running about 22 knots, and I looked over the side, and I said, you know how easy it would be to just bail off into the Mediterranean and find out if all that's true?
Mm.
And I realized that it was not the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I was being prompted, and I didn't know why. Why me? But I went down and got all those books I had and threw them over the side and got rid of them completely because it frightened me so badly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that went on to continue on beyond that. Several years later, after I was back in the States and I had retired, my youngest son, we were attending a church. Things were fine. I came to the Lord in 1981, October 18th, 1981, at 10:30 in the morning, more or less.
Mm.
And I accepted, my wife and I accepted the Lord together.
Wow.
And 2 years later, I watched both of my sons accept the Lord. Well, in 1988, my youngest son was 19 years old, and he came down with meningitis.
Mm.
We didn't know what was wrong. He was sick on a Wednesday. We took him in. They said, oh, it's a bad flu. By Saturday, they had diagnosed it as meningitis.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's bacterial and there's viral meningitis. They can do something with the viral, but mm-hmm. the bacterial, there's nothing at all they can do. The viral's contagious, bacterial's not. So they had my wife and I on prophylactic medication just in case
mm-hmm.
Until they discovered that that's not what he had. It wasn't viral.
Oh, man.
Well, around midnight on Saturday, he went into a drug-induced coma because his brain was starting to swell. And by Monday afternoon, there was no brain activity whatsoever.
Wow.
Everything was gone. We had to make the decision. My whole church that we were attending was there in the hospital, just about everybody, a couple hundred people, praying for him. And God said, I'm taking him home.
Wow.
And I had to make a decision to turn the machines off because the doctors guaranteed me there was no coming back from that. And to this day, I still wonder if maybe I should have tried a little bit harder, if I will. But anyway, that brought me to a closer relationship with God in a little bit, in a negative way.
Mm-hmm.
But then the more I yelled at God about my son dying, the closer I got to him. And that's when I realized, hey, I've been through all of this for a reason.
Yeah.
This isn't just an accident of fate.
Mm-hmm.
This God allowed all of this to happen for a reason.
Yeah.
And I started leaning toward the ministry,
mm-hmm.
and I started taking Bible courses at night, and I started doing seminary work at night, and ended up getting a master's in theology. And then moving on from there, we had a call to Africa. My wife and I had a call to Uganda. And that's another whole story in itself, but I'm not going to go into details now, time not permitting that. Anyway, we had a call to Uganda, and we got over there, and I was over there a very short time. I had been non-denominationally ordained,
mm-hmm.
and the bishop that I was working with in the Anglican church there decided that he wanted me as a priest, so I was ordained mm-hmm. about a year after I got there, ordained in the Anglican church in Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a lot of people over there excited about the Lord and interested in the Lord, but the real, how do I put it, the authentic calling of people to Jesus, I was having a hard time finding it. Just like here in the States, there were a small segment that actually understood and wanted, striving for a real relationship with Jesus. And I happened to get in with them, and they had a term for it over there. They spirit-filled people, they called us Malokali. And it was a derogatory term, actually, within the Christian church. Just like in the Christian church here, we question some of the charismatic and Pentecostal movements, and we look at people as if they're wrong. Well, God works in each one of us in a different way.
That's right.
And he worked in them that way. And I find that they had a much deeper experience and love for God than some of the others that professed it. And you find out they professed it because if they did, the Christians in the States would send them money.
So
that was their motivation.
Right.
But anyway, that's how I ended up in ministry. Yeah, that's how I ended up in ministry. And then I got back here to the States, and God called me into police, fire, EMS ministry, and I did that for 30 years. I'm still the chaplain for Stewart Police Department. I'd been certified as a firefighter. I was a corrections officer in Missouri, all of that, so that I could work within those groups of people. But it's been a long road, but it's not bad for a guy that's only 27 years old.
Okay, well, at least in your mind. But and that's Ed's story, and of course, if we had more time, we'd unpack it. But the thing that I want to say at this point, though, is that Ed was ordained. I was ordained too in a church, rather the same church he was ordained in. But when we talk ministry, it does not require ordination in a particular denomination. And I want this to be very, very clear, because some of the people we're talking to right now, God isn't calling you to be ordained to do ministry in your church. In other words, he's not calling you to go to a seminary, go through the whole process your denomination has to even go to seminary, and then go through that however long it is, 2-3-4 year period, and then, you know, come back and get a position in a church somewhere. Yes, some of you listening, that may be what God's calling you to do.
Yeah.
But more ministry happens by God giving his spirit to people that are not going to see the inside of a seminary.
Right.
What's going to happen is what you're going to do is you're going to hear God, maybe for the first, well, certainly for the first time, and begin going to him in prayer to ask him what he wants you to do, you know, and to make you aware of your giftings. A lot of people have no clue. They've been in the church a long time. Maybe you got saved and you were a teenager or young 20s or 30s or whatever, and then you got saved, and then that was it. You know, you didn't go beyond that experience, and that's great that you got saved and you were in Jesus in your life. But let me tell you, Jesus won't come into your life and not call you to ministry using the gifts he's given you.
Absolutely.
He won't fail to do that.
Yep.
What happens is that we are afraid to listen. And so we hide like Jonah. This is a Jonah thing.
Amen. Amen.
And I will tell you in my story now, I also was ordained too, but I also want people to hear that God's call is for every believer, every baptized, born-again believer. God is calling you into ministry, and that there comes a point when you recognize that and you can't turn that off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can turn away.
Yep.
You can... Now stick your fingers in your ears and la la la, you know, not listen to God.
Oh yeah.
But in my case, I was saved November 3rd, 1976, and that followed several months of attending a Bible study at a dear friend's house, which they lived right behind us. We had bought their property, and they'd built a house on the adjacent property. So, and we got a great deal. That's why we bought from them, and had no idea God intended for us to be there.
Okay.
So that we could walk to their house for a Bible study down the road.
Right.
And it was maybe a month, maybe 2 months. I don't remember the exact number of Sundays in a row that we'd gone to their home to hear this. People our age, actually, in their 20s. But they were people who had gotten saved. They'd been born again. And they were approaching the Word of God like they believed it was the authoritative Word of God. Now, I can't speak for my wife. She went with me. But I, for myself, that was unusual to me. I grew up in a mainline denomination, like same one you did, Ed.
Right.
Very organized, very official, with rich, you know, organized liturgy and all this stuff.
Amen.
But not a great emphasis on the individual in the pew getting into the Word of God.
Right.
And so at some point I shifted to another mainline denomination. And there was more of an emphasis on the Word, but not a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really get into it. So this was a big deal for me. And it was, I'm hearing these people and they believe this stuff. And so I'm listening to them because they're saying these things with the authority of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
See, their belief is from the Spirit. And so we were inundated with, we didn't say a whole lot. What can I say? I wasn't a believer. I mean, I wasn't a Bible reader, even though I'd been to church.
You didn't have the education.
Have the education, mm-hmm. but didn't have the Spirit, mm-hmm. you know. But the Spirit was convicting us.
Amen.
And so it was one night, it was again November 3rd, 1976, and we'd come home from a Bible study. I forget what we studied. What I do remember is we came in the house, and my wife let her in, and I was coming in behind her, closing the door and lock it. And I didn't freeze, but I was like in a, I was just still in my spirit. I was still. And I heard for the first time that I can remember the voice of God in my head saying, David, it's all real. The Bible is true. Jesus is real. He is who the Bible says he is. And I turned to my wife. I said, did you hear that? Of course, she didn't. But I came and sat down next to her, and I told her what I heard. And she agreed. Said, yeah, this is what's been going on in her. And so at that point, we opened our hearts to Christ. We invited him to come into our lives and to save us, be our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
So that was the beginning of a new life in Christ, but it was also the beginning of hearing his call to ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't recognize it right in the beginning. But I will tell you, and for those now, we're speaking to you who are on the fence about you hearing a call you think you don't know. It may be to ordain ministry. More than likely, it's not to be ordained ministry. Mm-hmm. But keep in mind, baptism is also an ordination.
Yep.
Your first ordination Amen. Is baptism.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's from that point, that beginning in baptism and in receiving Christ as Lord and Savior, that you are then given this tremendous and wonderful opportunity to be an instrument of God in the world, to be a purveyor of the living Word of God, and to carry the message of the gospel wherever you're sent, whether it's to the neighbor's house or to a nation across the sea.
Yeah.
Okay? Doesn't matter. Only God knows.
Absolutely.
But I will tell you, and I first began to perceive a call to ordination, and I didn't know what that meant.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard God twice now say to me, David, I want you to be ordained. And I will tell you, that I was scared.
Absolutely.
Number one, not
Absolutely.
So much hearing the voice of God, but ordination to me was like, who am I?
Yeah.
You know, I know what it was. I knew pastors. I'd been around them all my life. I knew what they did.
Yeah.
and the challenges that came with, I said, me? Come on, you got to be kidding. God, you must have meant to talk to somebody else and I overheard you, right?
Right.
No. No, God spoke to me, as he does to every ordained, every believing Christian, said, I want you to do the ministry. But what I'll tell you is that as a layperson, there was a journey that I had to engage in before I even looked at ordination. And in that period of time, it was about, I'm going to say, this was 1976 when I got saved. It was 77 when I heard God's call to be ordained, but it was not until 1985 5 that I actually received that ordination. So between that point and the other point of ordination was a journey of discovery, yes, but also a journey of kind of trying to process through my fear. It loomed, the whole thing of serving God, being, because I had to be in ministry, ministry I started with before I was ordained. Because remember, your first ordination is baptism. And so what did I do? Well, we're going to take a little break, and then I'll come back and give you a few minutes of how God got me after that. And that was Goodness of God.
Amen.
And I love that tune. So back anyway, we're talking about ministry, and I just wrap up my story. The thing I wanted to say is I don't know of anybody who began to hear a call to ministry that wasn't both joyful, that it was God calling them to serve him, and also fearful of what that might mean. Because none of us starts with a complete inventory of experiences and the resources that we think we're going to need.
Well, I found out that if you're not fearful coming into ministry, then there are people that have come into ministry as a personal goal, and they want to do it for their own egotistical purposes.
Yeah, I met those people.
It's not sustainable.
No, and that's the other thing. If we've piqued your curiosity about ministry, mm-hmm. with a listener, and you're maybe one of those people at the early stages of hearing God, do pray. We command spend much time in prayer and in his word, and seek to hear his voice. You know, I'm just going to say, one of the things that I have not experienced, I'll say this personally, I've not experienced in my journey, Christian journey, in the church, in the various churches I've been in, both as a layperson and a pastor, except for what I hope is my own emphasis on intimacy with God.
Amen.
Which, by the way, is scriptural. I mean, God calls us to, you know, be intimate with him. It's implied and it's expressed all throughout Scripture. God wants to have that kind of relationship with us. And it starts in prayer. A prayer is the ground of that relationship. And prayer isn't just giving God a list of things we want him to do.
No, no.
I mean, occasionally we do that. That's called petition. It's a very specific form of prayer. And there are other forms of prayer. But the thing I'm asking you to do, if you haven't been doing it, is to just spend time with God. Now, it takes practice. You know, and I can guarantee you that in the beginning it's going to be very hard. You're going to have to ask for God's grace to clear your mind, because you're going to want to, we start thinking about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If you're focusing on Jesus, being in the presence of God and in the presence of Christ, it takes some time to practice to do that.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But he wants you to do that because that's where you hear from him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that's where you hear from him, and he wants to speak to us.
Yeah.
And he wants, especially if you're in the beginnings of ministry, you know, he wants to speak to you.
I use the Lord's Prayer as an outline. And,
mm-hmm.
and if you go line upon line in the Lord's Prayer and pray a line and then expand on it, you'll be amazed at how intimate you can come to God. You know, it starts right out with praise and worship.
Yeah.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then expound on that.
Right, exactly.
And just move on. Because some people ask me, how do I pray? I don't know how to pray. Jesus said,
yeah,
when you pray, pray this way.
Exactly. And all that should lead you to a point where you're not being verbal in your head.
Amen.
And that's the hardest part.
Oh, yeah.
Because our thoughts want to intrude.
Yeah.
Well, and but it takes practice, but it's important that we do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we can hear.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're sitting in a room with somebody else, like I'm here with Ed, and if I'm trying to tell Ed something and he's talking over me,
exactly.
I can't hear what he's saying.
Exactly.
Now, it may be history has told me that on occasion you have wise things to say, so I probably need to shut up and listen.
Well,
but that's kind of what we're talking about, is for especially people seeking God's guidance for what he wants you to do with the life he's given you.
Amen.
You know? And I'm hope. Well, I kind of hope we still get some time here, but I'm hoping we've planted some seeds at least here for the listener.
Well, the Word calls us to be servants and witnesses.
Yeah,
and that witness aspect means living the life that Jesus gave us that we profess to believe.
Yeah, amen.
And that's the hard part. We go around wearing a label of Christians, but then what we do is contrary to that.
Mm-hmm.
What you do speaks so loudly, people can't hear what you say. So if you really want a ministry, the place to start is by living what you believe now.
Yeah.
And then, see, people can argue with your philosophy, your theology, your theosophy. They can argue with all of that. They can't argue with your life.
Yeah, because there it is.
If you walk it out and live it, you are in ministry.
So maybe you have a question or a comment. We still have time if you want to call in. 772-221-1100 is the number. 772-221-1100. And maybe if you have a little testimony about how what God got you into. Because often I ask people, I said, after you met the Lord, what did he get you into? What did he get you to do? And because that people need to hear that, I'll tell you, I believe that as Ed and I have been talking, there are some people listening in who, maybe God has used this, our commentary, to get their attention, maybe to give them an awakening moment, you know, say, an aha moment, you know, and to move on from there.
Yeah.
And maybe you've been, you know, I will, in the course of my ministry life, one of the things that God has enabled me to do is to work with other people who are seeking ministry, not just ordination. Now, keep in mind, maybe one out of every 10,000 people listening today, God may be calling you to be ordained and to go to seminary or some teaching, Bible school, whatever. And for church, for the leaders of your church, somebody to lay hands on you as an ordained minister, preacher, pastor, whatever they call you, that's an official capacity. And if God's calling you to do that, you need to listen to him so you can hear him say how you go about that. Where do you begin? Who do you talk to? But if, on the other hand, most of the ministers in the church, that ordination is your baptism, and God wants to fill you with his spirit and send you out to do wonderful things you never thought you could do because it's in the power of the spirit and it's the work of God, and you're not quite there yet.
There's a very simple formula to that. Before man ordains, God anoints.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what we've got to remember. If you feel the anointing of God on you, if you feel like he has called you out, you know, we call Jesus, Jesus Christ. Christ means the anointed one.
Yes.
You're not going to look in a Jerusalem phone book and look up Christ. Let's see, Yeshua ben Yahweh. No,
no,
it's not Christ, Jesus, the Son of God. Christ is the title he's given by God, the anointed one.
Which is strictly the messianic prophetic foundations.
Absolutely.
That he is the Messiah.
Absolutely.
That was promised to the Hebrews.
Yeah.
And then promised to us as
right.
Those grafted into that olive
right.
tree. We're the wild shoot. But
yep.
Point is, we're grafted in. But also, why? Why?
Yep.
Because not just to save a handful of people, but so that the people of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, with the message God has given us about himself, and now as manifested in the gospel of Jesus Christ and
right.
through him
right.
and the sacrifice on the cross for the salvation— that's the message we, each one of us, I don't care who you are. I don't care, and I'm going to go so far as to say, I don't care if you're the Pope or if you're a janitor in the smallest Christian church on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
If you are believe you're a minister called by God and empowered by him, that's
Amen.
The message.
Amen.
The question you have
yep.
for God is, where do you want me to go and what do you want me to do to get
yep.
this message out?
Exactly.
That's it.
That's it, yep.
And my hope is we're inspiring people to do just that
yeah.
in this broadcast.
In today's world, it's absolutely needed.
Yeah.
I mean, the world is constantly going downhill, deteriorating morally. We need as many people as possible to be out there sharing the gospel through their lives and through what they say.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I, you know, Ed, I'm going to say it, hopefully, and the Lord is... For years, I mean, literally years, I've been praying for America to be restored. And it is. God is working in that way. But America is only one nation of the world, you know, and God has a plan for the whole world. But I do also believe because of the, because of how we read about the founding of America, the pilgrims coming, Robert Hunt, the chaplain, who on the shores of Cape Henry, as they landed to claim this new land, And the prayer that he offers is the words of covenant
yeah.
that articulating what God had revealed to him, that this nation would send the gospel all over the
all
world.
Over the world yeah.
And that claim was made in 1607
yep.
on the shores of a new land.
Yeah.
And that is, when God makes a claim, he doesn't retract it.
Yeah.
You know, when he makes a covenant with people, and he'll always keep up his end. It's the other ones. It's us that we don't keep up our end, but God never forgets. So today, the church in America, and those of us, you and me,
yep.
listen, everybody's listening, you and me, as we listen to God, as we hear his call on our lives, as we stand maybe for the first time, willing to receive the fullness of the anointing that God wants us to have to do the ministry of the church individually. You know, and by the way, you can't point to somebody else and say, they're doing such a good job, I don't have to do anything. No, no, no. Hopefully they'll do the best job they can.
Yeah.
You need to do the best job you can for God.
Yeah.
And he will give you power to do that. That's the great thing
yeah.
about it. You don't have to do it on your own. Yes, you face it with fear.
Yeah.
That's okay. And fear, I was afraid, man. You know, the first ministry I did was prison ministry.
Yeah.
The first
yeah.
prison I went into was Florida State Prison in Stark, Florida, where all the worst of the worst are kept. And I was going inside the bowels of that prison on a crusade
yep.
with other Christians, and I was going to be sitting in pews next to murderers
yep.
and rapists and drug lords. And I have to tell you...
I was right next door.
You were right next door. Yeah.
yeah at Rayford,
so the point is that
yeah.
I don't care what God is calling
yep.
you to do and how fearful you are.
Yep.
If you know it's from God, trust him.
Amen.
And just in the willingness, that shaky trust of your first time...
Yep.
God will bless that. You will walk away from that one experience, and you will want more.
Yep.
I'm just saying, this is an encouragement. Do ministry. Listen to God. Get out from behind whatever you're hiding in right now, and just put yourself before God. Get on your knees. Get on your knees before God. Say, Lord, I'm afraid. Be honest with him. He already knows anyway. Right?
Yeah.
Say, God, use me.
Your hesitation, don't confuse humility with oppression.
Yeah.
God keeps us humble. He keeps us humble so we can do the ministry that he calls us to. The devil oppresses us and tells us not to do that ministry.
Yeah.
So make sure you can understand the difference between that. Keep your humility, but don't submit to oppression of the devil.
Amen. And now, briefly, because we only have a couple of minutes, I want to speak to people who've been doing ministry for a good while.
Yeah.
I'm not going to leave you out.
Amen.
And as you well know, when we do ministry with the Lord, we do come to points along the way where God is resetting our ministry, resetting our life, maybe causing us to focus either more finely on where we are or to send us to in a new direction. This also happens. So I'm speaking to you because maybe even after all your experience with the Lord, you're hearing him give you a direction and you're anxious about it. Okay, I understand that. It's human, right? Maybe because you've been doing that ministry for so long, you've gotten comfortable in it. Complacent, maybe, is a word. And now it's a brand new field he's sending you to. A brand new field,
you're describing my life.
Ground. Yeah, right. Well, but the point is this. So this commentary at the end of this program is also for you. The same methods apply. Get on your knees. Become prayerful. Get into the Word of God. You know, and God understands the time you're going to need to get comfortable with what he's getting you to do. You know, God does way ahead of time. You know, we may hear his call and say, oh my gosh, he wants me to do this tomorrow. No, God knows how to get you in time to prepare you. But now is the time, if this is where you are. And if you're a pastor listening in today, and God bless you, brother, we've both been there. We know what the journey looks like. You too. There is never a point in the life of a pastor when we shouldn't be on our knees.
Amen.
And asking God for guidance.
Amen.
And especially because some of us, we get caught up in, someone put me on a pedestal. Yeah. And you know what pedestals are for? They're tall places from which you fall.
That's right.
Keep that in mind, Pastor. Be prayerful about that.
And the higher the pedestal, the longer the fall.
The longer the fall. Right. And that's the whole purpose of those pedestals for pastors.
Amen.
Is because at some point the devil is going to tip you off and you're going to fall. Be prayerful about that.
Yep.
And, Ed, you got any last words of wisdom before we sign off?
No. I think what I said before, look for the anointing before you look for the ordination.
Yeah.
If you're thinking about coming into permanent ministry, full-time ministry, look for that anointing, because without it, it's an exercise in futility.
Amen.
You'll have a title, but you won't have a ministry.
And that's useless. That's wasted. Absolutely. I met so many people, that's all they had, and they really didn't have anything to give.
And also recognize the fact, Mom, that changing that diaper on that little baby is your ministry right now.
Yeah.
And everything we do as unto God. That's our ministry.
Amen. And maybe a last word is to you folks that are faithful attenders in church and love what you're doing and are doing ministry. Don't forget to pray for your pastors.
Amen.
You know, often they're the last ones to get on our prayer list.
Do we need it?
And they need it. They need it because the enemy's coming at them harder than he's coming at you. He wants them to fall from that pedestal. Pray for your pastors. Be there for them.
Yep.
And let them know you're there. I'll tell you what, most pastors most of the time have no clue what their people really think of them. All they get are complaints.
Nope.
And that's not helpful. But be there for your pastors and pray for them. And, gosh, you know, we're almost out of time, Ed.
Yeah.
But I want to get right to the last minute because I took out the song at the end, so it's going to over-end early. Well, it's a little production note you didn't need to hear. But,
well, I'm not going to sing. I'm sorry.
You know, please. Oh, darn. I was hoping Ed would break out in A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, which is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, folks, this was a different program. We hope it was helpful. If you have a complaint, certainly send it.
Yep.
WCNO@WCNO.com. Be happy to hear it, but this kind of felt like God wanted us to do this. Anyway, God bless you and be at peace.
Amen.
Tune in.